Eliyahu Kitov wants to address what he calls the mission of the Jewish people. And he says, historically, 5 days before the giving of the Torah, right? Torah was given on Shabbos, so this must be on a Monday. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had one portion of the Torah addressed to the people, which is considered to be the essence of Torah. They were told that the essential aim of Torah is not to give the people a collection of commanded deeds, words, or remembrances, but rather to, he says, enjoin, they should all join the acceptance of a special mission. One, that the continued existence of the world depended on. And the oil, the responsibility of what was being undertaken, would never be able to be shed. So basically, Klal Yisrael was being put in the position where they were told that the world exists for Torah. Either you accept it here, or I don't need existence anymore. We know, Rashi teaches us that for 6 days or periods, we don't know how long each day was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, created the world. And it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the condition that human beings for whom the world was created would only continue to exist by keeping the word of Hashem. Otherwise, they said, the world will return to tohu vohu, chaos and emptiness. And it says, this was a bris, a covenant, between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the world. I don't know what the world means. Did it need Adam HaRishon, who represented all of subsequent human beings? And we know, we're told, Pirkei Avos tells us that the first 10 generations completely ignored and did everything against this bris. And the world, therefore, reached to the stage of potential disintegration when Noach was born. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a level of rachamim and compassion, and he decided he would restart humankind with Noach and his family. And we know we had the bris with the advent of the rainbow, which had existed before, but now became somehow the siman, the sign of this covenant. And during the following 16 generations, it says, all of the world's inhabitants turned their back on this covenant, moving further and further away from any knowledge or recognition of Hashem. And once again, the world, we say, was on the eve of destruction, to quote the song. There were individuals who kept the bris. There were righteous individuals, but they were individuals and individuals only. And it says the merit they had would not be able to sustain the continued existence of the world. They were generally single individuals. The masses did not acknowledge them. They may have called them loony bins, right? It went around their way. And we are getting, they reached a stage of a world complete with desecration and abject denial of the responsibility to Hashem. Right? And he writes, the individuals, Adam HaRishon, and all subsequent people, were to be people and not deify themselves. Don't make themselves into gods. But the people, Chazal tell us, they became so debased, they reached the level of a mule groveling in his bucket. The survival of the fittest became the way to live. Certain people became gods, masters, or tyrants. And unfortunately, others were forced to become helpless slaves and be no better than mules because they had to serve the mighty. The part of a person which is his spirit was sublimated, pushed back. And those with power became debased because they turned to whatever lust they had and went at them with gusto. It says, the sons of Chum ruled with no restraint. And he calls it filth-infested Egypt. The lowest level of degradation held sway, world power. We're at the stage where one could ask, what happened? In other words, why did God tolerate all this? In other words, there was a mission, and obviously they veered so far away. Why doesn't something happened? And Klal Yisrael being redeemed from Egypt and going through the 7 weeks from redemption to the time they were going to be given the Torah, were now put in the position that they could remedy the ills of the world, right? They could basically work to, go against everything else in the world, right? And try to become this special, special nation. Hashem said to the Jewish people, are you prepared to accept the yoke and guardianship for all of continued existence? Are you willing to take on the strict adherence to the bris that should exist between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the world, but will now be restricted to Klal Yisrael? Are you prepared to evoke mercy for yourselves and the rest of the world, that it not come to total destruction. If you are prepared to do this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will strengthen the power of Klal Yisrael, increase their wisdom and understanding. You will know what to do, and you will be matzliach, you will prosper. I am going to give you my Torah, which is the blueprint of the world. It will be your wisdom, and the Torah will strengthen all of the Jewish people. And he said, this is what Moshe should say to the house of Yaakov. Beis Yaakov means the women. And tell the children of Israel, tell the men, you saw what happened, what I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, did to the Egyptians. I basically debased the haughty. Right? They became strangers drawing away from Hashem. And simultaneously, I lifted you, Yaakov's descendants, who people could say were lowly slaves, and with the Geula process, the metaphor of raising them up onto the wings of eagles occurred. No human being ever has risen on their own. Unless HaKadosh Baruch Hu wills it, nothing happens to you. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I have brought you to one level. Are you willing to go further? If you will listen to my voice, and keep my bris covenant so that it will never, ever become totally violated again. You will be unto me in the place of every single other nation, this priceless possession. Hashem says, I will then have simcha in you. I will give you rachamim, compassion, and I will have compassion on the world because of what you do. Remember, Hashem said, the world is all mine, and I can do as I please with it. You, not anyone else, especially not the Mitzrayim, are going to become my Amlachas Koyanim, a kingdom of priests. You are not going to overlord, right, over people. You are not going to enslave many nations and treat them the way you were treated in Mitzrayim. You are going to have a nation whose children are sovereign. They'll be royalty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they will be worthy of showing a level of dominion, of showing the world they truly are different and special. You are going to do this by the voluntary actions that you're going to do from this point on for the well-being of all of mankind, even to the extent where mankind wishes to deny and to ignore what you've done, you're still going to rise to the top. And this rising to the top obviously has become a thorn in the side of so many people. You are going to be a mamlechas koyhan. You're going to be a mamlechas kedusha, a holy people, and you're going to have an angelic type of presence. You are not going to be subject to your lusts and to your natural desires. You are going to be people of the mind. You're going to be people that are able to control what we would call, you know, natural reflexes, etc. You are able to live on a higher plane. And Hashem said, the world, the other nations, at least until Moshiach, are not going to step in line with you. This is what the Torah is going to do to the continued existence of the Jewish people. Moshe called the Zakenim, the elders, leaders of the people, and he gave them this detailed message. The same way a teacher, right, takes someone who's going to be his disciple and teaches and gives them full understanding of the content, that's what Moshe did. And Moshe went on and he told all the people. And it wasn't just one communication. It was designed, right, for men in the way they could understand. Women who may have another way of understanding, may have had another way of understanding. There were people who were more intelligent. And they may get a separate message. But Moshe was going to let everyone know. Someone who had trouble understanding was explained fully what would be. And it says, what was the response? The people didn't answer saying were flattered. But they thought carefully. And they said, we understand the mission. We accept it. And as we know, they said, Naseh v'nishma. We're going to listen to what Hashem says. And then afterwards, we're going to try to understand it. We comprehend fully that we can't get all aspects of what's being asked without continued study. It says they didn't look to one another to see what their neighbor's response would be. It says each individual, based on their own understanding, spoke independently. It says there was pure emes, pure truth in their hearts, and their hearts contents were clearly enunciated by their lips. And they said, all that a Kodesh Baruch Hu has spoken, we will do. It doesn't say all that a Kodesh Baruch Hu will speak, but it says which he has spoken. At this time, they accepted the mission for the whole world. However, when they were given further amplification, further detail of mitzvot and what was entailed, Then they rose to the higher answer of we will do and we will obey, or as we will learn how to obey. Yes, we accept it. And now it's our task to figure out and to learn how to do it properly. It says, Moshe, as any good messenger does, okay, fulfills the mission. He goes back to the one who gave him the mission, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he said, this is the contents of B'nai Yisroel's reply. And it says, Moshe, in his answer, used plural words of the people, because each person could, based on their own level of understanding, have a separate, completely proper nuance as to what they believe. And this all was basically captured in Moshe saying they accept the Kadosh Baruch Hu. We're told that Moshe had been told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the Torah would be given on Friday, and yet Moshe made them wait another day to Shabbos. And why? We know, it says, that we have a mitzvah of counting 49 full days, and that the 50th day is Shavuos. And we know we wait, usually, before davening Ma'ariv on Shavuos, that the 49th day has halachically passed. And they started counting when? It says, on the day following Pesach. And they were going to count, as told, till the day they would hear Hashem's voice. So, if that's the case, everyone says, doesn't that mean that Moshe made the first sphere of 50 days? Right? And if the Torah was given on Zion, Sivan, why do we say, and why do we communicate it as the sixth day? And one of the Mefarshim explains that when they were counting initially, they may not have been counting as, quote, pure Yehudim. For someone who's not a Yehudi, the day starts in the morning and ends at night. Therefore, technically, the night when we say it's now the second day, for them was technically was the first day still. Second day didn't start the morning. And so Moshe felt that there was some sort of omission, some type of lost time with regards to the Omer. Therefore, he added another day. The other thing it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, right, he said to Moshe, sanctify yourself today as tomorrow. So that would be at least 2 days. Moshe said, hold on. If I've got to have the days identical, the second day is going to be a complete 24-hour day. I'm already into today, so it can't be a full day. Therefore, I obviously need another day because I've got to have 2 days identical. So I have today and 2 days thereafter, which pushed it on to Shabbos. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed with Moshe Rabbeinu. And this may be maybe the first, or clearly one of the first times, when a mitzvah derabbanan, when the teaching of derabbanan, this is our first shtick of the Gemara, learning out what the pasuk means and pushing it to meet a Kadosh Baruch Hu's actual command. And I guess one would say that there's no better time to show the complete interdependence of Torah Shabbal Peh and Torah Sheb Yassav than on Shavuos itself. If the very day when the Torah is going to be given was decided, quote, by Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gadol Ador, we see the inseparable nature of the two Torahs. Okay.